Welcome. We'll officially call this rodeo committee meeting to order. Nate, do you want to do roll call, please?
Committee member Mead.
Here.
Committee member Keller.
Here.
Committee member Lenny Kitka.
Here.
Vice Chair Goodpasture.
Here.
Chair Kitka.
Here. Okay. Do we want to go back over the minutes, read the minutes from, no? So, we're just going to approve them. Right, but I guess. I know, right? I don't remember. And his cheat sheet's gone. All right, so we need to approve the minutes from May 5th of 2022.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from May 5th, 2022.
Second.
My second.
Okay. And it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from May 5th's meeting. So with that, we're going to move into Mr. Rodeo. And, oh yes, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Chair, Chris Ingalls, City Clerk for the record. Normally we would have a packet out so you can review any supplements or attachments, but we ran short of time.
That's okay.
Thank you. I'll turn it over to Mr. Rodeo.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Rodeo. Matt Askew with the ICA. I did contact Cody. Cody and I invited him over to Eagle, and we went over some logistics and introduced him to some people. But the biggest thing, you guys are updated on the ICA website and Facebook, but I cannot post the actual long listing until we have ground rules and local entry information. So we need to get that established today. I did talk to Cody. Hopefully you guys kind of thought about it. I know it was a little short notice, but I mean, at the end of the day, ground rules are posted for you as a committee's benefit, right? So you guys have vendors, so first and foremost, I'd say no outside food or beverages, and absolutely no glass bottles. That just kind of goes without saying. If that shit's broken in your, or that stuff's broken in your pasture, that's not a good thing. You can also, some people at private facilities say no dogs allowed. A lot of barrel racers travel with dogs, but they can leave them in the trailer or the truck. You know, just because, like I said, it's your facility. As we had talked a couple weeks ago there at your house, I would like to potentially see that north part, you know, where the cover is, mm-hmm. other than the two that you're establishing for the timed event herds.
Right.
It's for stock contractors and committee alone. Let's keep contestant spectators out of there. So
correct.
You figure out how you want to word that.
Okay.
You know, just things like that. You need to put in your ground rules under the local events, your limitations. I did talk to Chris on the mutton bus, and in the last meeting, I believe we decided 15 per perf in the mutton busing. So we need to figure that out and who's taking entries, how you guys are doing that, so we could advertise that. I said Kerry had to take the entries, but
I'll jump in on Matt, I talked to Matt. They maybe have a liability template we can jump off of. And as Sarah knows, I'll send that over to legal. I'll go through that process to get the application and liability hammered out with legal, and then we will release that form, and then they can register through the city, and then we'll cap it at the 15. Because of the time that you guys give, if you have spots that you want held for specific entrance, you need to let me know.
Okay.
Sooner than later.
Yeah, so like, yeah, no, we got to have it today. So if you want contestants to enter on the far east end of that pasture, we need to know. I mean, this is all going
right.
to be posted. Obviously, signs on the road help a ton, but I mean, at the end of the day, if they're trying to pull into your house or up to the front,
right?
I know you guys are going to close the gate, but I'm just saying it just creates a jam up.
Yep.
One other, what the heck? So on the, there's another thing that you guys can think of while, or think about while we're doing this is your order of events. If you're just going to go with the standard order of events, you don't have to post anything, but if you guys decide you wanted to start with the saddle bronc riding versus the bareback riding or anything like that to accommodate other things, which, like I said, we only have halfway that weekend, so we're good there, but.
I don't see any need to.
Okay.
Okay, so the order of events then will be standard.
Yep.
So I'll just end up, we talked about we need somewhere for the building secretary to be. So I think we'll make that selection and that's considered. We're trying to get a shed. We're trying to actually get one of the village sheds.
I think we got that covered.
Moving, it'll be easy.
Okay. So my suggestion would be figure out where you want sign ups and her or the secretary to be, and then we can just do a table right next to it for the clusters or right there in that area so it's all in one place.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I would envision it's going to be over by the warm-up pin over on the east side.
So it's just going to be to the east of the arena. So.
Where that blue square so is. Nate knows how to do that. So,
so this is our. This
so you can.
Blue right here.
So when I was out there with Lenny and Cody, we kind of talked about how to structure that for production just to keep contestants out of the way of spectators and keep everybody segregated. You're not going to want to hear this, but I've already had PETA people call me on the CUNA rodeo because of the KTVB deal.
I mean, here's the thing is, at least they know, and if they're going to come, we have security.
Oh, they'll come. They'll come, but they'll be. So this Boise clan is a little smarter. I mean, they won't like sabotage facility, but they try to sabotage the stock from coming in. So they'll stage accidents on both ends of King and things like that. But I think with the high flow traffic that you guys are going to have, you're going to have city police out there and security and stuff. I wouldn't be too worried about it. But. Right.
Okay, so the mountain busting will be
well, that's up to you. So it's up to you. So yeah, the secretary, the rodeo office. But if you do day of, You're definitely going to have somebody from the board for that part, for the registration.
Yes.
But, I mean, that'll be dead and gone. Kevin will take care of the entries for the mini bulls and the payouts and all that stuff. I mean, he'll kind of take care of all that stuff.
I suspect that the customer will register that.
Yeah. Okay, so you need to decide if it's going to be day of or you have a specific date that... So usually how a lot of committees do it is they'll do 2 weeks prior to the rodeo. They'll pick a time frame on Monday from 1 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the evening, and that's that. And I promise you, you'll have 80 people. If we post it and you guys post it on your...
Can we just say on the entries request must be submitted by a date certain?
You're going to want it just in a window.
So we would like to just do electronically or they come to our counter. That's how we interpret it.
Okay, then you will advertise that the entries for mutton bussing are open immediately, closed after once full, first come, first serve.
Okay, so let me do this. We get all the mutton bussing centers in the middle. We put the electric really quickly. And then we will round back up with you guys and we will say mutton bussing registration is from this time to this time, from this date to this date. Here's the two options. Is anything that they do electronically? They can submit it electronically, but until it's paid, it doesn't count. So I think maybe we can do that. Does that work?
Well, if you're going to have... So if you do that, then you don't need anybody at the rodeo office. But, I mean, if you're going to... You can do day of. A lot of committees do that, where people show up and go, we want in the mutton busting. Where do we go? And there'll be enough people in committee shirts. Head to the rodeo office, get signed up. You also need to decide an age limit, weight limit. Everybody's different. Talk to your sheep guy. But this, like I said, this is all stuff we need to establish ASAP so that I can get this posted.
Okay. So I can say mutton busting can open on the 2nd through the 5th at 5 p.m.
From 9 to 5?
August 2nd at 8 a.m. to Friday, August 2nd at 3 p.m. That's Friday.
Okay.
And they can do it two separate times.
Okay. Is that the same week as CUNA Day? You'll be full Monday.
It'll go fast.
And so then, okay. And then as far as we're going to do 15 tournament. We're going to charge, what was it, $20? $20. And we can sign up for 1 or 2 minutes, is that correct? We can just open it.
That's up to you guys. Generally, you limit it to one
per mm-hmm.
one yeah. one go.
You'll have plenty of kids, I agree.
Yeah, there's
mm-hmm. figured out.
What's the insurance?
What's your normal?
Usually the cutoff is 8 as long as they're not over 55 pounds.
Right.
That works.
I agree with the weight and the age of what he just said.
No.
Nope.
6 months old. Up on that.
Three to eight.
That'll work. Three to eight.
Also, what is his name?
You got a 2-year-old up on that, man. I'm telling you. Right.
What is the attorney's name?
Mark Biden.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I can see somebody, I can see Mark right now thinking, somebody's going to strap a 6-month old onto it just to wait. You know, I can see that conversation. So 3 to 8, not more than 55 pounds.
Are we doing one buckle per performance for the winners of that, correct? Okay. You get some dirt in your boots. Have a good night.
A lot of places, like I was telling Chris, I mean, a lot of places they'll either, if you have a sponsor for the mutton busting, and I'm telling you, for some reason, I don't know if it's just because it's a kid thing, if you ask for sponsorship, that's the very first one that people want to sponsor. And it's just how it is. But if you have a mutton busting sponsor and they have 30 youth shirts, or they can get 30 youth shirts, or if they have something, like I was telling you, Tractor Supply sponsors mine. They give us sunglasses and keychains, and then we ordered on Amazon mutton busting ribbons. So every kid gets something, but the winner gets the buckle. But like I said, you can.
I can think of one that I need to see if that's something that she would
want
to do. I'm sure she would.
Who is the sponsor? Oh, yay! Is there, what was the price? Did you ever price out mutton busting buckles, or did you just look at that one website? So I think then, you know, I'm assuming maybe we still have some part of a budget left from that sponsorship if we needed to buy something else above or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll take like a gift card, Tractor please. Supply puts together little packages, and I just tell them how many kids I got, and they do it.
Can Joey would like double dish to have a woman? No, she's not that. It's the winner. Okay. Two buckles. Whatever. I don't know if the kids are all going to want a facial or not, but, you know.
I will claim a kid as my own for this one night if that's the winning prize. Is a
I
nice facial.
Grandsons all share. Yeah. Okay.
Who's the sheep? Do we have a sheep person?
Yes.
Okay.
And the safety equipment.
We can gather up enough.
Yeah, you can go to Play It Again Sports and get a couple helmets, some used hockey helmets, and you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gotcha. I think you said you had a big head.
So the entrance, you guys, I can just put entrance, contestant entrance will be Mark?
Yes.
Speaking of contestant entrance, poking around some other rodeos and their ground rules, do we want to put in our ground rules something about plus ones and companions and if they get in free or not?
So how that works, I'll just kind of touch on that. So in the PRCA, every contestant gets a companion pass, whether the committee, I don't care who it is, they don't get a say. The ICA leaves that up to the committee. During the COVID year, we were the only association rodeoing. We did not allow companion passes just because committees were struggling to get sponsorship. Businesses were shut down. As a committee, it's going to cost you about $1,500 in tickets over the 2.5 days for companion passes. Majority of them do not sit in the stands. They're out at the trailer and they come push cabs or they pull a bull rope, whatever. They're not in the, they're not taking seats. We did have a ton of, so moving forward the year after COVID in 21, some committees stuck with that, and this year they're not getting entries because we are that amateur rodeo association where 95% of all the people work and they all have kids or they have a spouse, and if they're coming to win $400 with $6 diesel and they have to pay the $15 or $20 to get in, they ain't coming. They're pretty petty that way. But just so you know, my suggestion, let the companion passes happen, but that's just a suggestion.
I, my opinion would be one person per contestant, because I had
that's,
seen...
That's how the rule
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's what I would do, because there's...
That's how the rule is, and so what happens is whether you guys decide you're going to do stamps for gate entry or wristbands for gate entry, whatever you guys decide... Okay, well, you guys need to pick whichever one it is. And the rodeo secretary, the easiest usually is the wristband, but and change colors each night. Did you guys pick, like, a pink night and, like, Patriot night, mm-hmm. any of that stuff?
Not yet.
Huh? Okay, well, I'm just saying, so that make sure you give the secretary, you know, 100, 150. The stock contractor is going to need some, mm-hmm. those things. But, yeah, it's only a plus one.
Yeah. I that's my preference because I'm going to rodeos, and if I didn't have a plus one, I would be kind of bummed because, like, I have either my mom or my dad or, you know, husband or whatever come with me. And if they can't come in to record me, like, cool, thanks, you know. That's my opinion.
You're going to be, well, NISA is this weekend, and we have 180 contestants. Some of those contestants are double entered. So just for, well, there'll be 150 passes for NISA. I'm hoping by CUNA we have, so a big ICA rodeo, Haley, Emmett, those rodeos, you're going to have 330 contestants. So that would be 330. But I'm telling you, if you
But is there
going to
be like a difference though between if you give them like a wristband than saying like, okay, they're free to walk around because not a lot are going to go and go and sit, right? I would imagine a lot of them would just be up and walk around, but people that are ticket holders have like a place.
So how a companion pass, yeah. So how a companion pass is it's essentially a seat ticket, so that they can come to the other side. So a lot of rodeos are segregated, right? So your contestant side and then your spectator side. Well, on your contestant side, you don't have vendors, you don't have any of that, and so for them to mill around and go get a cheeseburger, or go to your vendors, they're not gonna. Hey, and I do know for a fact you will lose contestants.
But for clarification, you said 330. That's for the whole weekend in
yes.
terms of contestants.
Yeah.
So $3,000 for the whole weekend, not just one night.
No, it's a $20 ticket, right? Yeah.
So the vendor of the food is right here. The gate to get in. Stamp them and
So, I don't want to chew up a bunch of time, but how bad are you going to kill me if we change your sketch?
Because I have to meet certain obligations of what's required.
Sure.
From a city standpoint, from a council inspection.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like the vendors, I think we can get quite a few of the vendors inside of the ticketed area.
I don't want to do that, and the reason why is because the public can come and access those vendors and not be ticketed. So if Jane Doe doesn't really want to go to the rodeo, but she loves good leather work, because I mean, we have some amazing stuff that's coming. But she likes leather work, or her favorite small shop is going to be there, whatever. That's on the outside of the ticketed grounds. And so the goal would be kind of like the fairgrounds. When you get to the fair, you come in the gate, you have to go through the food market or whatever, and then you get to the rides or whatever. The people coming in to go to the rodeo will come through the vendor road. Those who are not ticketed don't want to go to the rodeo, they can still shop.
Are you charging for parking?
Well, we will be hiring security to be in the parking area. There will also be parking facilities organized and come out with the lieutenant. So that was their requirement that we have. We always knew we were going to have parkers, people to park people, but we also have to have security up there as well.
And so then they get dropped up here and then they walk in and enter, right?
Yeah. And so you can also hire ticket takers because, I mean, we can try and get volunteers. But this is our first year, so some of those things are going to be a bit of a challenge. I think it's less stressful on the whole event if we have paid staff that we know they're going to be there, they're being paid to be there, so they will be there. And then we will set down the criteria of what you got to have to get in, what you got to have to get out.
Well, just so we're aware, I mean, if you guys decide no companion passes, it has to be in the ground rules because it's in our rule book that every contestant receives a companion.
Here's why. It worries me that we will miss out on the contestants. Because they do our just
kind of that. Well, and I don't think we're missing out on $3,000. Because most of those people, A, aren't going to buy a ticket because they're not going to watch the whole rodeo from start to finish. They're just there for a quick second.
That and then the ones that, so.
It's opportunity cost.
But you don't count them in your numbering.
Mm-mm.
No, because it. Some guys, you might have a carload of four bulldoggers, and they bring one hazer. That mm-hmm. hazer's got to have a companion pass, but not all four of those guys is bringing in one person. Hell, they came from Burns, Oregon. They don't know anybody over here. They're not, you know what I mean? But if they can't get their hazer in for free, they ain't coming. And then the other side of that is you're going to have a carload of bull riders. And each one of those guys gets one guy, but that one guy called six girls on Facebook or whatever and said, we're coming. Well, those girls are going to have to pay. They're not all going to divvy out their companion pass that way. There'll be extras come because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we need to.
Sorry, Chris.
Okay.
Any other ground rules that you guys can think of?
The no glass, carving out that section of you know, where like our horses are today. I think you pretty well nailed them. The no dogs, I like that one.
No overnight camping. Service, you can put service dogs allowed.
Right.
That's, I mean, it's a city event. Service dogs are allowed. But they have to go through the, I mean.
And what about re-entry?
You can't do that if all your vendors are outside, though.
Mm-hmm.
That changes everything.
The, what did you say, though, before that?
No dogs are personal property.
Okay. So at their, where the dark blue, where the stall cover is, that's going to be sectioned off as off limits. No spectators, no contestants.
Stock
we
contractor
have to advertise
it
or contestants are going to think, hey, there's a water trough. I'm going to go water my horse. No overnight camping, correct?
Correct.
No cleaning out trailers in parking.
Mm-hmm.
Just typical stuff. But if it's not in the ground rules, I can't find somebody. If I'm out there and I see somebody shoveling out their trailer and it's not in the ground rules,
you can't do it.
I have no ground to stand on. But if they're out there shoveling their trailer out and they leave 3 foot of horse manure,
yep,
I can give them $100 fine and go, you got to go pay Cody $100 right now.
Yep.
And I don't know where to put this, but I have kept thinking about this and concerned about this. Since we're doing fireworks, if we can put it in the ground rules just as like a PSA, we're doing fireworks. So
were you in NISA last year?
No, but I've heard, I've told people we're doing fireworks, and the amount of people that have told me, you need to do this. I'm like, okay, because there was an incident that they didn't let contestants know.
Which is bullshit. The announcer,
oh.
I will tell you bullshit. I was judging that rodeo. The announcer announced it 50 times, if not 100. Fireworks immediately following, and then Brian Jones comes over, was trying to fist fight everybody. Oh, it was a good time.
Yeah, and, like, horses were running loose.
So that's a good point. Fireworks Saturday night, is it immediately following the perf? How do you want to do it?
Fireworks immediately.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, that one's making me a little nervous. Just throw them in a trailer.
Yeah, is what happens is they tie their horse. I mean, shit, everybody here knows it was a mess.
So, you know,
the contestants?
Yes.
So I have a rule in my book that says conduct unbecoming of an ICA member. I will fine them $500 on the spot. I've blacklisted in my presidency more contestants than anybody else. I'm not going to stand for that shit.
Do we want to make one about, I know we're going down like deep, but tying to the perimeter of your property, no tying to that? Or do you?
I don't think there will be anything there. We probably should make them aware, no water. I don't think that's a rule, but first.
No, most of them carry water tanks in their trailers.
I would imagine everybody knows how
to. There's a lot of arenas that are right next to the track.
Yeah.
The trains really shouldn't.
Yeah, but
these horses, I mean, the barrel horses are nuts.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the rest of the horses, they do this every week.
Yeah. Is the water tower water? Is that a problem? We do have. They just go on people taking in the whole time.
Is the tower portable?
No.
It's not
Yeah, we won't advertise that. But
no, just, but I mean, if somebody needs, you know, like they have new water, and you know, it's really happy over there, and we can come and do things. It's 500 gallons.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be an issue. I just wasn't sure if it needed to be advertised.
Right. No, I mean, worst case scenario, if you got something happening bad, I mean, you guys have access to water.
Right.
If need be, but yeah, we're not going to advertise. They, I mean, 95% of the rodeos you go to is no water.
Okay.
What was the other thing? No overnight camping.
Contestant center on the east side of the arena.
Oh, all ropers enter through the arena?
Correct.
So all timed event enters arena through east entrance.
I know this is a... We've kind of talked about events, so this is off topic. Did we want to do breakaway roping?
You have to.
Okay, it's now a standard thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a sanctioned event. You have to.
Okay. I just wanted to be cool and, like, you know.
Well, I have women's breakaway.
Yeah.
Is that the one I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The fact Ashley bringing the Pride State Farm is a sponsor.
You used to be able to void out the stock saddle bronc or the ranch bronc, but now that it's sanctioned, you can't even do it.
Okay.
You can do away with the novice events, but they're the ones filling your chutes.
Okay.
So it makes no sense to do that.
Yeah.
Yep. One of the cheap ones.
Okay.
No spectators in where?
Contestant area. That, I mean, that you don't have to put on ours, but what I suggest is when we post this, you guys type out a big poster, and you can post it at the entrance where the spectators come in, and you can post it at the rodeo office, just so that there's, I mean, no questions about it.
So typically what we do on these larger events, because... just works easier for us, is we order, they're similar in nature to the state signs, but they're the little bit bigger ones,
mm-hmm.
and we have those printed out, but basically it has all the rules on it, has the map of where everything is, where the restrooms are. Also, we put the QR code on there so that they can, you know, scan that if they want to find out more about the schedules or anything like that. We typically do them two-sided. And we put them throughout, and so we can put them at the entrance, we can put them at the contestant area, we can put them where they come into the actual rodeo grounds and such. That is what we need.
Buckles in every event, yeah, I mean, that'll be on there. No, not on that. Say it again.
Is there going to be like an ATM there?
I would hope so.
An ATM there?
Hell yeah.
I have a guy that just told me today, like, he's an opportunity, and he gives me, like, some
kind of
information,
and
he sends me to
him,
whatever. He said,
oh, yeah, you want an ATM.
He wanted to do it for 2 days, and then asked if I knew anybody that was part of the party, and I
was like,
here.
All right.
As far as
we've got power all around.
Where do we drink?
Chop. So yeah, I'd put one there and one at the shop. This has nothing to do with ground rules, but when you do your parking people, I guess you can't do it that way, never mind, because your stuff's outside. Well, like, there's a lot of rodeos that they pay as they pull in. Like, the spectators pay for their entrance. They get their ticket, and then you get the ticket when you go in. But where your vendors are outside, you could not do that. But
is that a hard no?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to alleviate, because it's hard,
ma'am,
to, unless you have a ton of security, it's hard to police all the people coming from the deal, coming around that east side and just watching the rodeo for free.
Decide if you want them to go off the contestant area or their parking, just to make sure nobody's going over there to analyze the vehicles or the flag. And then you will also have several police officers as well. So, security wise, and we'll have that each night.
One thought though, are all the food vendors outside? I would suggest putting a couple inside.
So let's talk about that, because it's like...
Because is what's going to happen. I'll tell you why. You as a city are going to get run down like nobody's business via social media, everything else. If people pay, one, it's a hassle to go out the gate that they've already paid to go, whether they got a wristband or not. If people are still trying to come in, and they decide, you know what, I've got a little bit of time before the saddle bronc ride, and I don't give a shit about the steer wrestling, I'm going to go get a cheeseburger. But if you have to go all the way out there, your vendors are going to suffer, and then you're going to get serious backlash. If there's not some kind of food on the inside where all the spectators are.
So our vision. Area back here, and Lenny and I are going to open that up wider. And our vision was, or at least that's what we were thinking and assuming, is you get your gate there, they come in, just like Eagle. You come in, they're in there, and all of the vendors are in there. So you can get a beer, you can get a burger, you can do all of that. Was kind of what, and then stop that re-entry.
And I think, so like if you pay money to have a ticket there and you want a cheeseburger, it should be catering to that person that paid the $20. Not the people that came in for free just trying to buy something.
That doesn't have anything to do with people coming in for free. It has to do with providing the access for the utmost amount of people for the vendor to be able to sell food.
Yeah, but your older crowd is already going to complain about having to walk from out there to the seating. Then have to walk all the way back out to get, whether it's an ice cream or whatever. And I'm good either way. I don't have a say in any of it. I'm just telling you, I do this every week, and I see what people's major complaints are. And standing in line for very long for food is the biggest, or happen to go very far for food is the second biggest.
People want their food.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Wouldn't they get more business if during the rodeo?
What if, okay, so what if you move the green entrance closer down to where Cody's talking about, put the food vendors there where the outside crowd can access, but the spectators don't have to. If you're clear on that east end of the berm down there, I mean, it's a country mile back out and around all that. I mean, your beer is going to be gone by the time you come sit back down. Well, that's what I'm saying. You move your entrance down mm-hmm. to where it accommodates. Mm-hmm. So where the little bubble where Cody said the barn is, move that green entrance down closer to the arena.
My thought on all of this is that the entrance shouldn't be over there. So vendors are paying to be a part of the event.
From my experience, I just did a vendor show, and it was the Eagle Market. We all know Eagle, and like there's Eagle, and where they do everything. So the main corner, and then the gazebo where all the concerts happen, and all around that, there's booths. There's a parking lot that had some booths, a Smoky Mountain Pizza, and the street that I was located on had two rows of booths on each side. And I sent a complaint letter because of the amount of people that did not walk across a parking lot and a Smoky Mountain Pizza in my area. It was shoulder to shoulder in the other area, and I sold $28 worth of product.
That's my thing is I want to drive everybody that has to go to the that wants to go to the rodeo. I want to drive them through
the vendors
before they get into the rodeo.
Well, can we put the food vendors inside then?
Well, that's what I was just talking about.
Because this is just like a rough. So I don't know how much room is over here. The last time I'm there, and they just pulled out the mini. It's almost one of those deals where we really need to walk it because...
Well, and we've needed to because I'm having trouble with the fireworks as well. I mean, it's been...
Because we're going to open that up and we're going to cut out more of our pasture to the west going towards Marlena's. Mm-hmm. We're gonna open that whole thing up and all that stuff's coming out of it.
So I think that the assumption, though, is that earlier in the day when we let these vendors open up a little bit earlier, because they start coming in to get open, the assumption is that the general public won't come out to a large vendor show, because we have over 50 vendors at this point. They will. They like to come walk vendors, and I don't want the vendors to lose out on that community interaction and buyer interaction because we are focused just on the ticket season. And as far as, and I know that not everybody was a big fan of the number of vendors that are coming in, but when we look at the budget, these are necessary things to fund rodeo,
sure,
to be able to pay for it.
So can we keep the entrance on the north side next to the covered area for during the day?
How many
find out what the food vendors are going to do.
I mean, there's some of your food vendors, I guarantee it, have two trucks. And like Rusty Dog, some of the taco trucks, whatever. I don't know who you have, but are you kidding me?
There's a bullshit.
Lots of barbecue and the tacos.
But a lot of those guys have a trailer and a truck. So reach out to them and say, hey, we have a possibility. We need access for VIP. You call it spectator VIP, and then we need you to be out. I don't know if they'd be willing to do that, but I'm telling you, that will be the biggest hit the city of Cuna takes is that. I promise. I don't know, I'm just telling you, if you listen to me, they won't.
Lady, what does this say?
Mr. Fucking Rodeo.
To walk the market just throughout the day, because I mean these folks are, you know, put a lot of effort to locate there for 2 days and be available for 2 days and make product. And then those that are coming, they don't have access to anything to eat. They don't have anything to access to anything to drink.
You think there'll be quite a few that come out just to the shop?
Yes.
I will agree with that statement because of, from my small business side of things, I don't know why, but Cuna has the greatest vendor market system, and people come to shop. And I started to tell people, other vendors around the gallery, when you see them, they're like, well, we're looking at the ones, and I tell them about Cuna, and their response is always, yeah, I've heard really good things, I've just never been out there. So I don't know why or how, but people come to Cuna to go shopping, and if I did great, like in a non-girl week in the Pittsburgh, phenomenal sales. I did phenomenal sales. So,
because we focus on, we do have some resellers, a couple, but we are so focused, and we try and price point it so that your handcrafters and your artisans, that they can afford to be a part of it. There's some amazing stuff.
And you don't think the people coming to shop would pay to get in? And the only reason I'm asking...
have tickets. That's the other thing, too, is I mean, we are limited on how many tickets. I mean, I would suspect...
What if we just have, like, a, I don't know, $5 entry for people just want to shop and give them a stamp?
But then how do you find them once? I mean,
everybody else is going to have wristbands, so you can't get into the rodeo with a stamp.
So I think the only other option is you move the ones that are already on deck with us, which I can bring those up and show you what we have. You know, you move those inside the rodeo grounds or into the arena area, and then we just get one or two for the outside.
So call them all and say, here's an opportunity. I'm charging you $100 for your spot now. I'm charging you $200 for your spot now, or you could pay $800 and you could be in prime real estate inside the rodeo grounds.
There you go. Seller. Well, and the people that come to shop during the day, I mean, you feel like they're going to want to eat, or are they just coming out to shop vendors and then they go somewhere else to eat?
I get hungry when I shop.
Make it a whole day event.
Marshall, I'm with you, buddy.
I'm hungry all the time.
I mean, look at me.
These folks will come in.
I'm talking about it. I'm hungry.
These folks will come in and they will start at one end, which is why we have it set up the way we do. They will start at one end. They will go all the way, our way through here. They want to stop and get something to eat. Or they will want another food for you, so a food gathering. And they will hit up, they will go back all the way. We have stupid good barbecue sauce coming. Last year at the home town there, they sold out. I mean, the first day, it poured rain last year at the home town fair, and all our vendors did very well. They
they were closing because they ran out of product. Because it was kind of rain. So Kina does, so exactly why Kina does come up. So I have eight. We have ice cream, because Justin was hungry that day.
So can we do a food vendor that just buys a spot out there? Is there, how many food vendors do you really need out there?
We have a barbecue guy that was not the first one in, so he did not get the barbecue spot. And we can talk to him if he wants to be outside.
Because
he was pretty fussy.
I almost want to say not two separate events, but because of, I don't know, I love it as a vendor because it's awesome, but how oddly good it is out here. I almost want to say doing kind of two separate events, but together. So letting the vendors be its own thing and letting the rodeo be, and maybe doing, offering a few people to come into the rodeo, and then the rest of them, it's Kuno Rodeo Market.
I agree with you. I think that the vendor thing needs to be segregated or separate from the rodeo, but you have got to offer food to your spectators.
I agree.
Because you will have no contestants and no spectators next year.
I think you do some shops inside with some food inside, and then if you so then pick and choose where do you want to be inside the rodeo, limited to X amount, and then the majority of the rest of the vendors is out at the Kuna Rodeo Market, and do I think that's what it almost needs to be, is the two separate things, because
so
we're getting so many vendors.
This is what we'll do. We'll make contact with all of these vendors. So we got barbecue, pizza, lemonade, shaved ice, kettle corn, Kentucky Creek Jenny, Mad Mac wants to come out, and then we needed ice cream. So we'll get a hold of all of them and ask them, do you want to be in the vendor area or do you want to be inside? We'll let them have that choice. Or if you're able to satellite, you can be in both locations. I'd like to make it fair. And once we get that figured out, if we have slots inside or outside, then we'll kind of try and fill in that with other than just add to it. Like I said, I have others that got a no just because they came in after we already had people in those slots. So we can
talk. Or have my Googler in front of me where I could measure that out. But there's going to be a pile of room back there.
Where all your equipment and stuff is.
Yeah, all that equipment, and it's going to go.
It's fairly large.
All of that will go clear to the fence. You could have six rows of vendors in if you want.
But I think where I'm starting to think from the vendor perspective, making it two different events, if I buy a rodeo ticket, I'm not there to shop at the market. So I'm not going to go do 60 plus vendors. And the same thing, you know, most likely, if you are coming for the market thing, you might buy a ticket, but I might be coming for just the market because I'm not a fan of rodeo, I just don't have the extra $20, you know, I want tangible things. So I think that's where I would...
But 85 of your contestants have no idea there's vendors? Or 85% of them, and every single one of them contestants is going to walk your vendor deal. Every one.
So the thing, too, about the vendors is if we have tickets that still need to be sold night out, those vendors have problems. I have one. I always check to make sure she's going to be there because she makes more money than anybody. She has her own shop here. Because they're all following. People come to vendor events because she's there. And some of them might want to go to the rodeo. Might spend money on the vendors. I just want it to be a full community event. But we'll get with the food vendors and see. You want to be inside? You want to be outside? You want a satellite? Will that work?
Yeah.
Okay. So real quick,
this rodeo's happy. Chris, I have a question for you. So the kids' stuff during the day, the bounce houses and all those things, where... are you putting those out with the vendor? I mean, is that a vendor in its own, or?
Well, so the city now owns Bouncy Crab, so.
Please mark that in the minutes, please.
So I
be on the inside so that maybe kids that are bored during the rodeo will have something to do. And then I think maybe I need to get out to come and handle that and volunteer thing. But also don't want to be a babysitter for everybody there either. So I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. But we'll figure out something.
I'm just thinking that's maybe doing something like that, and that you're ready to learn how to go to the petting zoo, like have all the kids stuff together.
But they're going to have to pay to get into that.
Right, that's part of the rodeo.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, that's part of the rodeo. Mm-hmm. So I think, we have ones if they need someone outside. I was thinking probably inside. I think if we got the use of mostly come from the kids that are attending with their parents that they go
on. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all I know about the events is one of
and mini bowl.
Are we doing team roping, local team roping?
The steer riding, the mini bowls. Yeah, that's mini bowls, yeah.
Oh, DMV's are extension.
Yeah, because he is one of the main guys for DMV.
So
yes. He'll take care of all the entries and all that. You guys won't even know other than he's bringing 80 spectators.
Okay. No, I'm confused. Okay, who's signing up?
Rodeo Fever. It's all his kids. He does a circuit. It's just a pre-rodeo event. It's just the same as mutton busting, but the committee doesn't have anything to do other than their. He can get his own belt. If you have a sponsor, it's a nice gesture, but if not, he can take care of that.
So DMV supplied Travis Jr.
Because Kevin's their guy.
There's their other sheet sponsors. So we need to do anything with no, okay.
No.
What about the local thing I think? I've been asked about that.
You want my opinion?
Okay,
if you're going to do a local team roping, so I had talked to Cody and Lenny and Tech Sutton about hosting a local barrel race. So you could do the same thing. All it does is helps your facility. It helps with the ground, with the rapport from the contestants. But I will tell you, if you do a local team roping, I've done this for 10 years. The only way that you can do this correctly is have a qualifier. And it's the same thing with the barrel racing. Because is what happens is you get, and I used to judge a lot of IGRAs, remember? And you get them people that are leading the little girls with their deal, which kills production. People are like, screw this, I'm out. If I'm going to watch somebody lead their pony, yeah, it's cute in pre-rodeo, but you never ever run those things in pre-rodeo. So if you're going to do a team roping, host a qualifier 2 weeks before, and you take the top five one night and the top five, the other top five the next night. Same thing in the barrel race. How Emmett used to do it when we did the barrel race, we'd host a barrel race qualifier, and both of those things put money in your coffers, right? So the team roping, you're taking a third of everything, and you can put that back to your rodeo, your facility, whatever. But if you're going to have local team roping, because what happens, and there is a ton of local ropers in this area, they're going to be pissed because they didn't get in, and they've lived here for 40 years, and I know so-and-so, and this is BS. But if you have a qualifier and they don't qualify, it's on them.
Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts about hosting a qualifier?
I like it.
In my opinion, we got too much stuff on our plate. I say we hold out this year, honestly.
Oh, really? I should.
No, because we're talking about putting on a full barrel race.
So, my, and that again, that here's my suggestion. You're going to put on a barrel race, let all those girls come see the ground, see the facility. It's going to help with the rapport. I wouldn't have a local barrel racing in the rodeo. I wouldn't have a local team roping in the rodeo this first year. You've already got a concert. You've got fireworks. And the more... The more local stuff that you throw in lengthens the production of the rodeo. People's attention span is about 2.5 hours. Much beyond that, if it's not something new, the concert, if it's not the fireworks, your ass gets tired and you're pissed because you can't go get food.
So here's my thought. Here's my thought of the day. Because we're going to do a rodeo in 2023 also. So maybe after we get through this one, maybe then we look at pre-rodeo next year, when do we do these local qualifiers, and then those qualifier people then can participate in the rodeo itself. And so that we, and then when we get asked this year, we just say, first year,
it's coming,
next year we'll do pre-qualifiers, and then we will know how much money we have, we'll know how to set it up, we'll be a little more.
And then we won't have to worry about the day or like the weekend of stuff in addition to putting on these two qualifiers.
So like NISA's this weekend. NISA has the Richard Mia Memorial Roping. It's their local team roping. But their qualifier for that was a month and a half ago.
Because we could qualify in June.
So what the barrel race that we're talking about is really has nothing to do with the CUNA rodeo.
Right.
All that is to
just for ground.
You put on a barrel race so all the local girls can come and go, oh shit, entries are next week for this ICA, man.
Mr. Rodeo said the cuss word.
Where's the square jar?
So it's a completely different.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you now. You don't have a local barrel racing.
Yes,
I do. We have barrel racing.
Yeah, but that's the ICA barrel racing. Yeah. What they're talking about is a separate.
So let's say a girl goes and but let's just say she lives in CUNA and she goes, man, this is awesome. I'm going to enter it. And she's going to buy her ICA card. And she'll enter it. Just like
well, she doesn't have to buy an ICA card, but she pays a non-member fee. But right. Yeah.
Yeah. And isn't that $30?
Yes.
So next year we'll just do a qualifier and we'll have a barbecue.
I'll drink.
Sign this fat kid up.
Okay. Cool. So that's all we're doing. We're just doing the only local event we're doing is not
classic. And mini bowls, but it's not called local. So you're good. Yep. Mutton Bussin's the only local event.
That's Madam Clark to you.
Yes. Okay. Yes, Madam Clark. No, shit.
Another topic talking about rodeo details is flags. And I have gotten a gajillion people.
I got you in the next one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Next. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just got too excited. Okay.
Calm. Calm.
No, are we done with you in this room?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to pipe in the rest of this meeting. What the hell are you talking about? That's an action item. Do you got to approve the ground rules or not?
Let's approve the ground rules as noted.
Sit down.
Okay. We're voting.
Do we need a motion?
So, yes, we need a motion to approve the ground rules as noted.
I make a motion to approve the ground rules as noted.
I second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, the budget. There's a lot of stuff happening in this space, so I'm going to quickly just jump through a bunch of stuff. But this third column here is the numbers that we spent
you're seeing coming in the mail, maybe some adjustments are happening as we're getting higher numbers. On the far columns, the actual cost, trailer box is being on the budget already. And then the total cost to do a rodeo is $107,700. And we have the $50,000 seed money. That $107,000 is not included contingency. That $107,000 needs to be offset with vendors, alcohol sales, sponsors, ticket sales, VIP sales, not less than registration. Currently, we have $6,100 in revenue from vendors, $18,350 from sponsors, and $1,355 in ticket sales. So currently, we still have enough money, but when you look at the long term, because all of those do have to pay, it's still only $31,000. I think we'll get there to 10 cents.
How much more?
$31,000. If I want to get the city feedback, which is the goal, I need $80,000.
So that was $15,000.
Nothing really. Just we're keeping track kind of what we're doing and what's happening and, you know, just all of that kind of stuff. Keeping track of a couple questions. One lesson is a big one. Are we having junior barrels? Are we having junior barrels?
No.
Okay. Volunteers. If you have people that you are bringing in to volunteer, you've got to send them to me. Because I got to look through. No. Posters. We're working with supporters and sponsors. We're wanting to make the posters with the QR code, providing tickets in their facilities. So we're working with that. This is the list of them. Just here at the bottom is our food people. And then these are the lists of our vendors up here. We got some just really great stuff happening. Some of them are doing 2 weeks instead of one. Food vendors, we do have some backups if we need them. Invoices, got the invoices in. Livestock and the rodeo announcer. Livestock asked, requested hotel coverage for employees. Two rooms without even being up. So if you guys are okay with us expending up to the approved amount, then we'll help them improve our charges. No?
Tell Drew I'll have a camper for him.
Lance is in place.
I told Drew that we weren't doing the hotel, and it'll be fine.
Okay, so I'll just pay that invoice.
He can stay right there with the camper up. Yes, but just don't let Matt catch you as you go.
I'm not a member of the ICA or a
participant. You are a member of this board, therefore you are
fine. Yeah, you can stay at my dad's house. It's down the road a bit. It's about a mile. Yeah, I'll change the sheets for you.
This time.
Station. I'm trying to get sunscreen, masks, hand sanitizer, chapstick. First thing I should send them over some chapstick. I'm trying to get something else to give me some of the other stuff. We can get some more. Also, I have Dr. Fouts offered to send medical staff as well. So I'm talking to TJ of Fire District to see if he does want a physician and a physician's office staff as well. I guess Ms. Rodeo, our paramedics probably can handle whatever happens, or do you think we need to actually drop this office?
No, paramedics. So as far as the rodeo is concerned, via rule, the ambulance has to, not just medical staff, the ambulance has to be on site for all three events, the two perps in this lab.
So we have to hire an ambulance?
You have to have an ambulance or an EMT or...
We
That's fine.
The fire department's messy.
That's fine, as long as their bus is there, not the people of the bus.
They don't have a bus.
BMTs don't have transportation? Yeah, we gotta have a bus.
It's coming in handy sometimes. I agree with the rule.
I'll have St. Luke Sports Medicine trailer there. They have a great big trailer that I'll have Kevin bring. 95% of all the contestants know Kevin and his crew, and they won't even talk to the paramedics, and they'll go straight to Kevin. But if Kevin says they need a ride, then we got to have something available.
You can't call the ambulance or anything?
Nope. I can't rodeo until it's there. It's true.
100%.
I've shut down a lot of rodeos. In fact, 2 weeks ago, the ambulance left because they got a call on a wreck on the highway, and we sat there for 3 hours in the middle of the tie-down roping, waiting for an ambulance to come back.
Because if you think about, Reagan's
truck, it takes drugs to get
there, so,
yeah. I don't think you told me this. Yeah, you didn't tell me.
I did, and then you said it was donated. It was good.
I said that.
In fact, the other day when we were on the phone, you said that.
I said that the EMTs, and they didn't. Oh, my God. They just gave away, 6 months ago, they just gave away their ambulance back.
Well, just tell them they need to borrow it for the weekend.
And I was checking. Can it be any ambulance?
Yeah.
Can't be. There's.
No, it can't be that. I mean, you could buy used ones online for really cheap.
That's the next purchase for the city. Cars will greet
it. And as I'm judging, as long as I can see the bus parked there, I'm good. We're going to rodeo. Hey, if it looks real, I'm in. There are a ton of private. There's a ton.
Get a U-Haul truck, have creative wraps, sponsor a wrap job, park it out the corner.
La, 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 la. As long as I don't know, I'm good.
That's a huge ambulance. Wow.
No.
It's a three-bedder. We're prepared.
Yeah, there's private EMT companies. So Homedale, we use a private when we were at Batiola's, and it was $1,500 for the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not. But your vet just has to be on call. They don't have to be on site.
Oh, my God. This is so fun. I'm so glad I'm here today. I did not know we needed that either.
You just need to notify. And there's tons of vets that will be out here. But Jim Dornkamp, if I tell him, hey, Huna doesn't have a vet on site, can you be on call? Or
yeah, please do that.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, so 18,350 it just did another sweep in the last day or two of another, start communicating with another 40-some people to see, if I can get any of those programs. So we'll continue to turn in dreams. And the ones that you guys have mentioned, I haven't heard from them. Buckles. So Matt sent me over to Molly's Custom Silver. They have nice buckles. There's so many buckles to look at. I'm trying to pick them out. I mean,
can I make a suggestion?
Yep, you can.
Have Cody or Sarah.
I was going to ask, see if I could just.
have those two order the buckles because...
I got to pick them.
No, I know, but have them pick out the buckles the style they want. Berg's is another one, Bob Berg Buckles. They do monthly specials. So a lot of their buckles that are normally $200 are like $69, $79, $89, like the Molly's thing. So it's another outlet. Yeah.
I think that's cheaper than the one that I was going
for. Tammy, I can't believe Tammy quoted you guys that. I texted her and said, what the heck, I'm on that rodeo board.
Also, I'm surprised that she didn't fight on it, but also I was surprised, like, yo, girl, like, I'm a farmer, I'm a queen, like, I'm going with you because you're queens. But it's, they still came in at my budget, so that's why I was like, I have too many things to care about fighting.
Molly's found some great stuff, good prices. I talked to him, they sent me over a spreadsheet, and you probably talked to him. 60 days. It takes 60 days to get in there. To get in there, so I go right there. So I don't. I just need whoever can get this done as quickly as possible. Like, send me a spreadsheet. You can go through. And, yep.
Do we want to do if the committee member wants to purchase one or something?
Is that a committee buckle?
That
line. No, a lot of committees do that. I mean, they buy their committee members buckles for rodeo day and that, but I don't think your committee's big enough to get the bulk discount anyway. You gotta have like 35 buckles to get that.
Wait till you see the size of my buckle, buddy.
Yeah,
that thing's gonna be huge.
A big one?
Dinner plate. Today, because they're really on for the 4th of July, I just want to make sure that they're correct. So, I'm going to get with her. I'm going to tell her this is how much space we have for everything, and then we can float over. We can float over onto the fire, onto the railroad. Marlene, that's a different thing. So I'm trying to stay off her property. Or, I mean, I guess the worst that happens is she sues us.
Who has the field across King from me? No.
Oh, King. It's Bob Perry. Winnie's working to see if we can secure that.
Maybe you make that paid parking, or you could do the fireworks there or something.
Can't do the fireworks there, OT, for any traffic.
Oh.
Because it's county?
No, it's because of police. People will fill the King out, like they do on Second Street.
What about?
In certain areas. I wasn't, this is where it can be.
What about on the other side of the tracks?
We can, but I don't know whose property that is in the building.
Bob Perry's brother, Leonard Flynn's leasing it. He's got cows out there. Pivot. You could jump over, take Meridian, hop over right at Melissa's.
Because you could make a fence around their deal, because no one would be out there.
Yeah. Because that's what sucks. Like, our field is prime parking areas. And to have to tear into that.
For the fireworks, for the...
Yeah, to lose that. If we could get those off our property, the fireworks, I think it'd be a better deal.
We know more.
Yep.
Squirky?
Radius. Can you use that in a sentence?
No. You don't.
Okay, can you talk to him as soon as possible?
Yes, talk to him tomorrow.
We'll have to do an agreement. I gotta have it. Because then I gotta book with the fireworks. I gotta get it done. And I already have an agreement. That we want to go through the legal reason for the expenses. No more. I don't need it anymore. I'm doing the counseling. It's all in my day. A nice guy, but he's so simple, but smart.
Yeah, those positive people in there, I was like, goodbye.
I don't know. Parking. I gotta get that nailed down, but again, we're gonna have attendants on that. I already talked about the vendor security screen. Got that two on site and two in parking. Safety and something.
What was that on the first day of the week?
That's going to be the fire department tonight. Souvenir rodeo shirts. It'll happen back in Primera along with souvenir rodeo blankets. Really was kind of trying to stay away from pre-ordering and having this big supply of it. So what I'm going to talk to her Friday, what we think maybe we need there, and that is, they can pre-order on our website, and then once a week we'll get with Megan and go, here's what we've got. This many shirts at this size. So more of a short order, small order. Same thing with the rodeo blankets. And then we will factor in money for the rodeo committee. And also, as part of that too, we're getting requests from some of the vendors that they're surprised to find in the contract that we don't allow them to sell human logo logos. That's not going to allow. And so I've worked up where they can basically, they're going to have to pay the committee X amount of dollars and X percentage of their sales in order to have items with the human logo logo. And I'm also working on getting so that it belongs to the community, so that nobody can use it. Volunteers, you need to start telling me what positions you need volunteers for, so we can determine what skill set they need. Can we actually get a volunteer that's not going to get that skill set, or do we need to see that hiring? I need after lease and I can get money with them. And then last, I'm going to toss over to Sarah for Queens and Pines.
Queens, I made, I purchased the buckles for, biggest decision that I made, instead of doing 4-inch groups because I started calculating my ages, that 4th-inch group was just too small, and honestly, I didn't want to take on the responsibility of, I think it's like 7 and younger. I just didn't want to do that. So there's only going to be 3 queens, a senior or miss, teen, and then a mini. And my thoughts right now, which this is going to be you, Chris, my thoughts right now is to put out there for that 7 and younger, if you show up on pageant day, everyone gets a crown, everyone gets a sash. You have zero responsibilities, but you can run around the rodeo with your crown and sash on. I think that would be really awesome for all those little kids that want to be a part of it, especially being a community thing. Well, let's look at the budget. I have one full queen that I did not order shaps, buckle, or crown for.
Okay.
So I'm still way under budget. The pageant is on July 30th at your guys' place. I have to work on a day of schedule, but otherwise I've had 15 application requests, so I'm hoping for at least a couple per age group to hold the pageant. So lots of interest, and Chris has been really helpful in making sure my contract is really nice with legal too. So,
was that pageant?
No, she tried to take out the social media clause that says that I like can't reprimand on social media, and I was like, we gotta.
Do you need help with that at all?
My attorney's not
on
nothing.
It's a good coach. I've been here for like 30 years.
I actually have girls that are looking for coaches, so if you want to put them away. Not for queen related, I'm pretty good right now. I got the contract originally from another queen group, and then I get scorecards. You know, I'm not recreating the wheel. I'm just, so. if we wanted to do a food thing, I think that would be awesome. We're just going to do like a quick lunch break and your team thing. But they can also run into Kuna and do that if necessary. I've done that in the middle of the project, so I can get.
I'd like to see that maybe do would you like to serve four changes, please? And thank you.
But I think that would be awesome. Everyone I've talked to, I have told them the amount of appreciation and support that the board is giving us, and they're very excited about that. So, lots of interest, so hopefully we'll see some applications start to roll for
you.
I don't think that would hurt at all. That would be awesome. Any other questions? This is Ray Marie. She does flags for her and her daughter Kathy Jo. Do flags for Meridian Lions and Sabre Stampede. I worked up with them. If anyone has anything against it, let me know. Otherwise, I was just going to have her start running the flags because they know girls. I was asking her to hold the tryouts for our rodeo so that it gives people a fair opportunity. Maybe they can't make the Meridian one, and they don't want to be a part of the Meridian one, but they want to be a part of it and can make the Kuna one, so hold their own tryouts. Any questions?
So how many flags? I mean, it doesn't matter. I was just going to let you know that there are, within the ICA, there's like 15 flags that if you need, the stock contractor usually has a flag, the ICA flag, some of that stuff. But you don't have to fly. The only one that we as the ICA are asking, because we pay you guys as a committee, is the DMV supply flag. But they're already a sponsor, so you guys should want to do that anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know how many sponsors are at that level.
I have quite a few that we've been talking to that we should, like, never know how to say anything. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Andy and I were talking, and they were talking, and I was like, well, you should be one of the conference, so we really good fit. So I gave them all the information we need to do that. But
so, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So far we have 10 flags.
Plus at least the ICA flag.
Because they're going to have some
state flag. So I think there's enough to put a team together. And I don't want to deal with this. So.
Well, and I think, like, I think Adam, I think they're bringing, I think
she has her own flag.
She has her own flag. No, that's, you know what, lines are, I'm just trying to.
Well, and we have a vendor that can do those flights. Good quality flights that are lightweight, that are easy to carry, and they can get them to us in a very short amount of time for, believe it or not, a very small price.
So I think the flag, this is my thought of it. I don't really know about that. But it seems to me, I was talking to Lisa, just kind of made sense to me when I was listening to her talk. But there's the beginning thing where all the flags come
from.
And then there's flags that go in for each event. And then the reverse of the grand entry at the end.
Sometimes people like that, sometimes they don't. It just depends on the rodeo.
I like it, but
I run flag groups from anywhere from 10 to 20.
So where this is your first year and you're trying to advertise that sponsorship, it wouldn't hurt to run them after, you know, after the bull ride, and there, run them all through. The only thing, before events, there's going to be, so I do this every weekend, and you got to make sure, because, like, if you have a flag for Bareback, a sponsor, and then you got a flag for Ranch Bronc, and we have to run them together, I can't have girls in and out during that. I mean, we've got to be, so obviously we're going to have a production meeting prior to the, you know, the draw and all that stuff. We're going to have production and we'll establish all that stuff. But yes, I would say that you run them as much as you possibly can. Don't worry, you don't have to do anything for that. Just Cody.
Thank God.
If you enter in 3 seconds late, you're done. You know, so they're up to listening. I appreciate it. And these questions are coming. No backfire.
So what can what my team can do for that?
Did you get the contract from the announcer?
Anyway, do you guys think we need to be working on anything that we're not working on?
I think it would behoove us to maybe do another site visit walk. And so yeah, just that's the big thing. Oh, I do have.
help any man, woman, or child the week after next.
After the...
So the week of, like, the 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, right there, right before the 4th of July.
Oh, my gosh, you picked the worst possible. Was that Tracy's idea?
No. Well, it's just, we're up against the crunch. But Matt was kind enough to take me and introduce me to a handful of people there at the Eagle Rodeo last weekend. And with that, we learned that Avamore is kicking Eagle out. And they're under major pressure. They wanted him out of there 3 weeks before the rodeo even happened. So they're under major pressure to get all of their stuff gone, and that is a godsend for us. So all of that equipment we have access to, but what we need is help. The bleachers, so now we're not under pressure to get that berm built to the level that we are. We'll get a dozer in, push what we have flat so it'll be up 3-4 foot. Compact that, but Eagle has enough bleachers to hold 4,500 people.
What'd you say?
So, but anyway, the last week of June, and I know it's tough, but again, keep in mind, they're under pressure to get them out. We're in somewhat of the same pressure to get them. Eagle's going to put a crew together, and we're going to try to put together as big a crew as we possibly can. 4 people takes them 3 days. Well, it took them a day and a half to tear them apart. So I'm figuring if we've got 20, 30, 40 people, it's just a lot of bolts. It's not hard work, per se.
So we just got to pick a day, pick a time,
yep,
and we will push it out. You just need some organization as to how you want it to happen. Because when we push it out to social media, we have people that will want to help. I have some contacts who will send it out. But it's during work hours. I'll try and get as much staff as I can.
Huh?
Voluntold.
It is voluntold. But that way we can vet out, you need to be at this location at this time. You need to bring these type of tools with you. You need to wear gloves. Closed-toed shoes. I mean, but I just need to know where, when, and what you want them to have.
Because my vision would be, Tracy said they're 16 foot long, 8 foot wide. The tops will nest into each other. So, like my 30 footer, we could put 4 on there. I think there's 27 total. But to me, it's just getting them on the ground. If we just get them on the ground and then come back later, forklift all that stuff later, so be it, right? We've got to get them all moved. If we can, it'd be nice. But I'll bet if we had a crew, Matt, what do you think? Would it be a day deal or an afternoon deal?
No, it's going to be a day at the very least, just because you got to have some kind of control as far as, you can only go so fast, so far ahead of the next guy. And you're going to have a person unbolting, and then he hands it to a guy, he bolts it, throws it in the bucket. Because you start losing parts, it's not fun.
So we're just going to cut these down into sections, right, and then load the sections on there?
No,
they have to be complete. So all the seat and floorboards have to come off, and then the risers, what you call the risers, they'll come apart in sections, and then they just stack.
Is there a reason that we have to tear them all down?
Because they're 40 foot deep and 80 foot long.
Well, but if we take them down into sections that are 16 foot long by 8 foot wide, is that a thing?
He's saying because he's got access to all kinds of cranes.
Well, I'm saying if we can not take it all apart and we can load it on his big trailer.
Which it would be way easier that way to put back together, because once you start disassembling, you got to mark.
This is okay, my area of expertise may be helpful. Right along with what Marshall's talking about. So you can move a lot of stuff that is oversized. And you just got to put a permit for it. Sometimes, depending on your height, and They'll route you if you have a high load. So if you're going to be over 16 foot, actually it's 14 feet. But you get 16, 18, or 20 feet, depending on what the height is, they will route you. They will high route you. And then you just got to get, as long as you don't have to lift any wires, sometimes you got to get a pilot card or whatever. And it may be, when we're trying to do this, we may want to consider what's the biggest we can leave them, what is that dimension, because we can do long road permits, we can get all of that done.
Yeah. I think I've wanted to raise my hand 10 times tonight, and I prevented it, like, not done it, so I didn't have that. But I just thought of another person, Mike, with SPI Trucking. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he would be willing to donate or, you know, pay for his equipment, like a big giant flatbed or something.
Does he have flatbeds or has he just
got an acre or something? Or for grazing. I don't think I have JK.
We'd have to look at it, because I don't know, you know, if you haul, you just get one section versus if you tore it down, now you get four sections on the same trailer, you know.
Because then you could, I mean, the way I'm looking at bleachers is kind of so you put one upright, like you'd be sitting on it, and the next one's upside down.
So these, you won't be able to do that. So these are 1¼-inch angle iron frames, and they're stable when they're on their base, but as soon as you take that base away, so i.e. you stand one and you stare them together, that top one, I don't care how many straps you put on it, you're going to, and I don't disagree with, if you have the manpower, the trucking, and you got somebody to load and unload on each side, that's going to be your best bet, because you're less time bolting, unbolting, less marking, less guessing where things go back together.
Yeah.
But if you got to, logistically, it's got to be staged.
What's,
because they are mega flimsy.
What's the height? What's the height?
Well, so it's a catch 22. They're right. They're stared like this,
yeah.
And
well,
they're.
Like the overall.
But there's different sections like this. Mm-hmm. So
Tracy said they're.
Yeah.
16-foot sections.
Lengthwise, because the boards are 16-foot boards.
Yep. And then they're probably 15-foot tall.
Oh, they're taller than that.
Yeah, I think they're 15-foot.
Well, at least the three, so you've got two sections on the southeast side and one section on the straight west side that are the big ones. The rest of them are 13, 14-foot. But I think those other ones are at least 17.
So I know Tracy told me, he said, two old guys and two kids tore it like they were in their 60s, tore them apart.
The ones in Baker City, yeah.
Yes, in a day and a half, and it took them 3 days to put them together with just four guys. So I'm going, well, hell, if we put them, you're right.
But what he didn't tell you is those guys in Baker City had put that same set and tore that same set apart 25 times. It wasn't just some guy that they were like, ah, shit. I mean, it is a difference. But I do agree with Marshall. If you can logistically get trucks and trailers and unloaders and loaders on each side, that's your best bet. Because once you start tearing down completely, pieces get cross-marked, whatever, they don't go back to back together as well.
And I think... We can talk to Andrew, and he's got a truck and a trailer, semi. Use yours.
I would send a couple guys over that start with the teardown.
Yeah, have a teardown crew and a put-together crew.
Yeah, and then they watch how they're tearing them down. They beat the trucks over, start unloading, and then they can start
teaching.
Putting together, and it's just a train.
And then we can
and
have
it would be
like a crane at the load site and a crane at the unload site.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a two-day deal. You'd be completely built and done. The worst part is I'm absolutely no help because I leave from this Thursday till after 4th of July.
Where are you going?
Right here.
Does everybody know that we're in Kima ATVD, and also Idaho Public Television asked to include us in their documentary for Outdoor Idaho, and it's about rodeos in Idaho, but also they're really interested in the building of Idaho. And so they would like to meet with all of us. That's why he's now called Mr. Rodeo, because when I was talking to him, I go, you want to talk about rodeo? He is Mr. Rodeo. So I'm going to try and organize a time that we can meet with PBS and go through, you know, work through that. Love for all of you to be in attendance, because I think it's important that, you know, this documentary really reflects all the work and community service that's happening here. And then it will play in 2023, and it will actually run during their fundraising, where they do it for tweets and whatever. And then it will be a feature on Outdoor Idaho, and then I think they'll probably put DVDs of it. So I thought that was amazing for us to be a part of.
It's good publicity.
Yeah. Won't help us this year, because it doesn't come out until next year, but next year will help. Mm-hmm. So,
you'd be surprised the feedback that I got on the Press Tribune. Well, Jeff Lucas, your guys' announcer, was here for the bull riding in Parma last weekend. So I had him come to Eagle to meet Cody, and he read the article on the plane, and he was super stoked about it. And then in Parma, I had two or three people ask me about it. And then after the KTVB thing yesterday, I got 9 calls about it. So.
What's happening? Makes two of us. I may be out of the office for a few weeks, but my team is very up to date. They will make sure that, you know, we're getting everything taken care of, and I will have some availability to them. So if we're working on anything jointly, let's keep that done. But they'll take care of us.
Told you. One thing I'm thinking of, which could come later, is a lady bird. But I'm sorry.
For your flag girls?
Yeah, for the flag girls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have a really generic release of liability. I'll get to you.
Okay. I just thought of that, and I was like, oh, got to get one to go more.
Gen 4.
There is, so in the beginning and the end of the rodeo with the flags, Meridian has done like a little drill team, so they do like music and then they do a little, I figured Chris was going to like this idea. Since we're doing it already in Grand Entry and closing, do we just want to do something like that then?
Yeah.
And add some music to it, and then it gets a, because then it's not just an in and out with the sponsor flags, like it's a couple minutes in there, and there's nothing going on in the arena anyways at that time, so. You reached out to, someone reached out to Acapa.
You're busy.
So, yeah, because the director is on the St. Peter's with me. And so that's where I was like, no. I don't know. Do we want to do a specific dressing or do we leave like the flag thing?
Are you going to do it during pre-rodeo?
Yes.
I like the dressing thing. That just seems fashion.
With no flags. Or with flags.
With flags. Let's do everything.
We have fireworks at a concert.
All in?
Let's do it all.
Doing it all in. I'm in.
That's great input, Nate. Great input. Don't think that they're afraid of it.
I'm here for a
step up. So, I don't know.
Whatever you want. I don't have a complaint. What would you like to do? There's a couple of different things. The
in place, okay, they can do the drill team. The other thing that we can do, too, is I can take those members and put the sponsor flags on those members and bring the drill down to a little bit of an easier drill and do it that way, because with those tricky, you know, with sponsor flags, you're going to not want to be writing right next to somebody and have that flag in the face, you know.
So just bear in mind, free rodeo is an hour. I'm not being Debbie Downer. I'm all for it. I'm just saying we got to budget it out. So steers will limit to 12 to 15 guys, and that'll take 15 minutes. Mutton busting with 15 riders is going to take 20 to 30 minutes. And then
we can do a drill. We can do a 3-minute drill, 5-minute drill, 900 drill. You guys let me know.
I'm good with any, I'm just saying. And then we could throw the drill team between the mini bulls and the sheep. Okay. That way, if any of the girls that are on the drill team are flag carriers, they can be ready for Brandon.
What was the first event that you designed in free?
Huh?
What was the... What was the mini bulls and...
Drill team.
For some reason, I thought you said steers. And I was like, what?
Well,
mini bulls. Yeah, okay, so it's just the three things in that 1 hour.
And there'll be a ton of build-up.
Okay. We got a lot of stuff to do. Any other business?
Oh, I forgot to mention. Cal Rose is our after-party location. They're doing it in kind to help give them tickets. And then I hope them up with Pendleton. Because they're a sponsor for the rodeo. And kind of do them after, but I think that's all good.
What's Gabe doing?
$1,000.
I would use Cody to do it, but he did.
Guys, here's $1,000, and we're not in the service for the
other. Yeah. No, he called Cody out on it. He wanted to know why he wasn't serving this. Boo! You'll come around.
All right. The city won't give you a liquor license.
Ah, we don't. Sorry.
We're not sure if we're ready for that yet.
I don't. Your fat friend is.
You can drink it.
All right. Any other business we're missing?
Probably. As always, I appreciate you.
We appreciate you, Chris.
Thank you for all your help on.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I guess if that's it, get a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn this meeting at 8:01 p.m.
I second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
10-5.